This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. You know that we love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday, right here on this same station, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. We are with you at this same time, Monday through Friday, and so I invite you to join us. Yes, I do. I invite you to join us every weekday. And you know, we love to receive your phone calls here. And typically at the beginning of the program, I'm prompting you to give us a call. But today's one of these days where I just wanted to kind of kick back a little bit, and we're going to do some discussion. Yes, we are. We're going to do some talking about the wounds of our heart and how it is that we enter into that healing love of our Lord Jesus Christ and begin to be set free by way of that love, that we might achieve the fullness of life that God desires that we have. You know, Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 10, that he has come to give us life and to give us life abundantly. He wants us to know the abundant life. But oftentimes, various kinds of circumstances and situations that have occurred in our lives, some of which we have caused and some of which others have caused, mitigate against us experiencing that abundance of life that our Lord wants us to have. So today, I thought, let's just take a little time and let's just talk about these wounds of the heart. Let's talk about how it is that we discover them, how it is that we can identify if, in fact, we even have a wound to the heart. And then once we do, what is it that we do with it? And how is it that the Lord enters into that misery, into that condition, and begins this whole process of transformation, this whole process of setting us free? Even as I say those words to you about this process of setting us free, I'm reminded of two scripture passages. One of them is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And then in St. John's gospel, he says this, "When the Lord frees us, we are freed indeed." When the Lord frees us, we are free indeed. And God wants for us to know that freedom that comes by way of the salvific action of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know what it means to enter into this moment of truth in our lives that has the capacity to transform our lives, to transform us, to transform the way in which we see the world and ourselves in the world. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that after we come back from our first break. But I do want to tell you about some of the opportunities that we have available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. And, you know, I really encourage you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. I don't care if you're a woman or you're a man. It doesn't really matter. As you often hear me say here on the air, and I say it when I'm giving, talks around the country and outside of the country, you know, real men listen and watch Women of Grace. Real men listen and watch Women of Grace. And that is absolutely true. As a matter of fact, not long ago, I was at an event and I had two men that came up and said, "Hey, Johnette, I listen to Women of Grace. I'm a real man." And I said, "I could tell that the moment I looked at you." So, you know, even gentlemen are welcome to go out to our website and see what is going on there. We've got all kinds of activities that are always unfolding. We have various events that take place in person and online. In addition to that, we do invite you to participate in one of our study groups, and those study groups are available online as well as in person. Ladies, if you haven't taken our foundational study, I sure do want to encourage you to do it. I'm telling you, we've had tens of thousands of women throughout the world, really, that have taken this study and have experienced what we're going to talk about today, have experienced this freedom and hope that comes through knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus and who it is that Christ Jesus desires they be, plus all of the abundant graces and blessings that he wants to bestow upon them. So get on out there to our website. You can find out about our foundational study and also the two newest studies that we have that are in our Moments with Mary study series. The first is Who is Mary? And the second is Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics. And I want to encourage you, any one of these studies is dynamic. Of course, the foundational study, I think, kind of lays the groundwork for what you discover in the Moments with Mary study. But you can come in, you know, through any one of those beautiful study programs. And I think that you're going to want to take every study that we offer. In addition to that, I want you to know that all of our television programs and our radio programs, they're all archived for you at our website. So if you miss, you know, one of the programs that is aired, you know, on EWTN television, you're going to find it out there on our website. If you've missed one of our radio broadcasts, you're going to find it out there on our website. So I invite you to take advantage of that opportunity. And one other beautiful, I mean, listen, we've got all kinds of things. I can't even describe them all to you in the short period of time that I have before this break. But one real service that we offer, and this service is a service to you, it's a service to your loved ones, and it's a service to the priesthood, is this whole opportunity available for you at our website called Need a Mass? Question mark. Need a Mass? Question mark. And this particular offering enables you to have a Mass celebrated for a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, a situation or a circumstance. It's all available for you there. So obviously, there are Mass intentions that you can ascribe to for a deceased loved one, but for a loved one that's going through a rough time, somebody that's battling a very serious illness, a son or a daughter who's struggling in some way, you struggling in some way, perhaps you're looking for employment. I don't know what the case could be. Maybe your marriage is in jeopardy or you're having a rough patch in that marriage. And you know that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass being the greatest prayer is the answer. Well, we offer you that opportunity. So it's a service to you. It's also a service to those for whom you offer the Mass. And in addition, it's a service to the priest who will celebrate that Mass for you. We are in partnership with the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda. The priests in that archdiocese are very poor. They exist on Mass stipends. And so your Mass is also something that is going to be of great benefit to them. So not only is this a spiritual work of mercy by way of having a Mass celebrated for a loved one or someone who you know has passed on to eternal life. But in addition to that, your Mass is a corporal work of mercy because you're helping to sustain the priesthood. You're helping for these holy priests to be able to meet the needs of the people that are in their parish or in their diocese or in their jurisdiction, to go into the bush and to help people that basically are living out far away from towns and from villages and from bigger cities. So we want to invite you to check it all out. It's just a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. So do check that out at our website and think of us when you need a Mass. We know that sometimes it's very difficult to get a Mass scheduled in your parish because they book up so fast. So this is a way for you to do it. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. So get out there, check out what's available for you on our website, check out our Need a Mass area. And don't forget to look at our Benedicta Institute for Women. We have courses that are being offered now online throughout the year. Our fall immersive, we'll have more information about that. That's an in-person immersive to make the distinction between the online and the in-person. All of that available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. Will you hear that music? We're going to the first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about our topic today, which has to do with inner healing, healing the wounds of the heart. And let me just tell you something, we all need inner healing, and you're going to find out why. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you. As I mentioned to you at the beginning of the program, we are here for you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Today is one of those very special days. You know, I wanted to have an opportunity to present to you a teaching on healing the wounds of our heart. And, you know, I'm out and about quite a bit, and I've worked with women, I've worked with men for many, many years in apostolate. And the fact of the matter is, we all suffer from what we call the wounds of the heart. And in Sirach, in chapter 12, verse 25, there's a very important verse. And this verse speaks a great truth to us. It says, worst of all wounds is that of the heart. Now, here we're not talking about the biological heart. Here we're talking about the center of the person. And I have a definition for what that heart is, the center of the person, not the biological organ. And this is my definition. In sacred scripture, the heart most often refers to the inner life of the person. It refers to his thoughts, his emotions, his intellect, and his will. We would even say that it is the very center of a person. It's his core. And the interesting thing about the heart is that it's also a lens. It's a lens through which we see the world and we see ourselves in the world. So a person's inner life, his heart, is formed by a number of influences, including his family of origin, his life circumstances, his personal experiences, and relationships. So, you know, when everything is in perfect calibration, so to speak, you know, then our heart functions, this inner core of our being functions according to the will of God, according to the way in which he's created us, according to the grace that we've received through our baptism, strengthened through confirmation, according to the grace that we've received through every sacrament of reconciliation and through the reception of the Eucharist, right? Through the reception of the sacrament that is congruent with our state in life. It might be matrimony. It might be for a man, his ordination to priesthood. If we've received the anointing of the sick, you know, that sacrament grace that we receive all tends toward our good. It is also something that integrates the interiority of our very being. But oftentimes we know, because we live in a broken and fallen world, and frankly, we are broken and fallen people due to concupiscence, the residual effect of original sin, everything doesn't go according to the plan of God. It doesn't go according to the grace that we've received, which is a participation in the divine life. That's what grace means. So our heart is afflicted. And I don't think that there's a person listening today. If so, you know, I want to meet you. You know, I really want to meet you. I want to gaze into your eyes. You know, I just want to meet you. Because if you have never experienced a wound of the heart, you are a very, very unique individual. What is an affliction of the heart? What is a wound of the heart? Well, it is a sorrow of the heart, a wound of the heart due to a life circumstance or an experience or a relationship that has caused us great interior pain and in some way has affected the way we see the world and ourselves in it. So we talk about the fact that we see the world through the lens of our heart, but if in fact that heart has been scathed in some way by a life circumstance or an experience or a relationship that has caused us great suffering, then the way in which we see the world and the way in which we see ourselves and ourselves in that world is distorted. It's distorted by the wound. And, you know, we think of our Lord, and I mentioned to you before we went to the break, that beautiful scripture passage, John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, what is Jesus saying? You know, that's his mission statement. You know, what is his mission? His mission is to come and to bring to us the saving action of God to heal all of those places within us that stand in need of healing. And without that healing, we do not experience the abundant life of Jesus Christ. We're incapacitated to greater or lesser extent. So we want to cooperate with God's grace, right? We want to allow God to begin this process of integration, this process of bringing back into right order the way in which Father God intended we should see ourselves and the world and ourselves in it, that we might know truth and that truth might set us free, right? We go back to that passage from Sirach. Worst of all wounds is that of the heart. And we begin to understand why these wounds of the heart are the worst of all wounds. I mean, we get physical wounds. We might have physical maladies. But those physical maladies, those physical wounds are either going to heal in this life or will be used by God to bring us into eternal life. But these wounds of the heart, unless they are resolved here, you know, those wounds of the heart are going to follow us, whereas the wounds of the flesh, the wounds of our corporeal being, they're not going to follow us into eternal life. So what would be some of the circumstances and situations that would cause us to have a wound of the heart? You know, what would be one of those things or several of those things that could afflict us in such a way? Well, calamity in every form, in every shape. We often experience calamity through the physical realities of the world in which we live that come by way of weather. We here in Alabama, we suffer from tornadoes. Not all that long ago, we had individuals that were killed by tornadic activity. We know that that's the case in other states. You know, I spent over 44 years of my life, the majority of my life in the state of Florida. We have hurricanes. We know that hurricanes afflict us. It's not just the demolishing of homes and communities that come by way of tornadoes and come by way of hurricanes, but it's the trauma that is caused that comes by way of those kinds of things. Our home being gone, our personal belongings being gone, but most of all, in some cases, family members being gone who lose their lives in these kinds of situations or are seriously injured or harmed by them. So calamity causes a wound to the heart. Anything that causes trauma causes a wound to the heart. I think of my own son, Simon. He served in Iraq. He came home. We know he had PTSD, though it was never diagnosed, because the vestiges of that were all over him. War causes affliction to people, for the soldiers, as well as for the people that live in the war-torn country. Another thing that causes these wounds of the heart, this disintegration of the human person, this tearing asunder of who we are, is personal sin. Personal sin, we don't think about it. But every sin that we commit, great or small, has an effect upon the inner core of our reality. You know, the venial sin to a lesser extent, mortal sin, catechism calls it grave sin, to a greater degree, it cuts us off from being able to receive that life-giving action of God, right? So there's our personal sin. I can't tell you how many women that I have met through the course of my time in public apostolate who have had abortions. And while, you know, in the early day, they find relief from getting out of a fix that they consider to be unremediable, except by way of this horrible action, in later years, suffer from this. I'll never forget. Many, many years ago, I had a woman that called into the radio program. Golly gee, this has got to be, I can't even tell you how many years ago this is now. It's probably, better than 35 years, maybe 40 years ago. She called in and she said, I saw your television program. So it must have been around 93-ish, I think, because it was probably The Abundant Life. She said, you know, I saw your television program on abortion. And she said, I am 85 years old and I have suffered from the action that I took in my young days all of these many years. Imagine that. Imagine. And what good news it was for her to hear, honey, you're not too old to be freed from the residual effect of this sin and the sin itself. Go to the sacrament of reconciliation. She said to me, I'm too ashamed. I said, don't be ashamed. The priest that you go to has heard this time and again. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the evil one use shame to prevent you from receiving the inner healing that you need to experience, that God wants for you to experience. He's waiting for you to return. I don't know, maybe one of you, more of you than one, are listening today who needed to hear those words. Maybe you were someone who participated in some way in someone obtaining an abortion or even coercing someone to have one. God wants for you to know His mercy, His forgiveness, and His healing. Personal sin. But then we also experience wounds of the heart by way of the sins that others commit against us. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, spiritual abuse. Sometimes it's because we've grown up in a family where one of our parents was an alcoholic. The alcoholism of the parent causes deep emotional wounds and suffering. Sometimes we've grown up in a home where there's been other substance abuse. It levels an effect against us. Maybe we grew up in a family where our parents were emotionally distant. They took care of all of our physical needs, and they took care of all of our educational needs, and they took care of us just fine that way. But maybe we weren't affirmed as children. Maybe we grew up thinking that we couldn't measure up. We'd never be good enough. Maybe nothing we ever did pleased them. Maybe it was simply that our parents were cold in the emotional sense, and they couldn't express how pleased they were with us, how proud they were. Or maybe they withheld that affection that we need to know by way of hugs and kisses and those loving embraces that only a parent can give to a child. So we're affected by calamity. We're affected by personal sin. We are affected by the sins of others against us. Sometimes we're affected not just by the issues that arise from our nuclear family, but sometimes by way of the generational history of our family. You know, maybe there are certain kinds of modes of operation that have been passed down, or certain kinds of temperaments that have been passed down. And we have experienced those kinds of situations and those kinds of circumstances. If I had more time, I would go through this in greater detail. But I'm hoping that you're beginning to understand that sin in all of its forms, our personal sin, the sins of others against us, venial sin to a lesser extent, but mortal sin to a great extent, calamities that arise out of the weather or out of the area in which we live, or, you know, through war, through various kinds of criminal offenses that are common in a given area where we never feel that security. Those kinds of things, right? Those kinds of things all have a deep effect upon us. And the good news is this. The good news is that God wants to set us free. He does not want for us to suffer under these kinds of difficulties and trials, under these kinds of oppressive clouds that hang over our head. He wants for us to experience this integration that comes by way of His grace, this integration that knits us back together again. He wants for us to know the joy that comes from being set free from all of these kinds of realities that come by way of the broken and fallen world in which we live. There's a beautiful verse from Malachi, chapter 4, verse 2. And this is what the prophet says. This is God speaking through His prophet. The prophet is a secondary instrument of God. He speaks the word of God. So when we hear the prophet, we know that it's the voice of God speaking to us. And the voice of God is speaking to you today. If anything that I've said up to this point is resonating with you, I want you to know that these words are for you. This is a promise. This is a promise that's coming from the heart of God. But for you who fear My name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise. Hear that again. But for you who fear My name, and here we're not talking about that servile fear. We're not talking about that kind of fear that makes us cower. We're talking about that kind of fear, knowing that God, our God, is omnipotent, that he's all powerful. And we stand in holy fear, another word being awe, A-W-E. We stand in holy awe of this God whose omnipotence can set us free. His all powerfulness can set us free from all things. So the prophet says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Isn't that beautiful? The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And here, the Son is S-U-N, not S-O-N, although I think there is a play of words there, right? The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. God is promising you that for whatever it is that afflicts you in this moment, you know, and right now, I'll tell you what's coming into my heart and mind. I want to speak to those of you who are suffering underneath the oppression of a transgender mentality. This is a mentality that's been hoisted on us by the culture for nefarious purposes. And some of us suffer. Some have suffered underneath this. You know, a kind of disparity between the gender that is ours by way of the providence of God given to us from the moment we were conceived in the womb of our mother, and the world telling us that in some way it's the other gender that we're oriented to. This is a lie. And I know that some of you suffer underneath this. And what is God saying? There is healing coming your way. He will knit back in your mind, heart, soul, spirit, and emotions. He will knit back together again this disparity. He says this, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go forth leaping like calves, meaning that you shall be set free and you will go forth in joy and hope. There is so much that God wants to do for you. And when we come back, we are going to hear more about this reality of inner healing. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. Always encouraging you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, to see, you know, the beautiful events that we're offering, the studies that we're offering, both online and in person, all of the beautiful resources that we have available for you. So I invite you to check out our website, womenofgrace.com. Men and women, you're welcome to, all of you are welcome to check it out. You certainly are. So today is one of those days that we've set aside for me to have an opportunity to dig deeply into a topic with you. And the topic that we're exploring today is one that I've explored with you probably in the past. I don't know. I know that it's come out time to time when we're taking your calls. This topic has to do with inner healing, and we're not taking calls today. So, you know, I wanted to dig deeply into this because this is an area that we all need to be aware of. And it's a situation, circumstance that we're all faced with. We all need inner healing. You know, what was coming into my mind as we were coming back up here was where we're told in sacred scripture, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And if we think about that for a moment, it makes great logical sense, doesn't it? Because what is grace? We've defined it often enough, but grace is a participation in the divine life. So when we are told, and this is Jesus, and he's talking to Paul, but it's meant for all of us, when he says, my grace is sufficient for you, he is saying that the life of God is sufficient for you. And how could it not be? You know, the life of God is perfect. The life of God God is eternal. The life of God is infinite, right? So he's telling us something. And we heard a beautiful passage before we went to the break today, just a moment or two ago, from Malachi, where he's talking about the Son of Righteousness is going to rise and set us free. And the Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, when we're talking about these wounds of the heart, they can come by way of calamity. We mentioned that. It can come by way of our personal sin. We mentioned that. It can come by way of the sins of others against us. We mentioned that. It can come by way of the sins that we experience within the context of our nuclear family. We talked about that. It can come by way of generational sin that's passed from one generation to the other. We talked about that. But the beautiful news is this, you know, God's mercy is there for us. And not just mercy for forgiveness. That's one aspect of mercy. But the other aspect of mercy is that God loves us. And he wants for us to know his mercy for every situation and circumstance, every trial, every misgiving, every reversal, every setback that we experience in our life. And so we talk about this business of inner healing because that's the way that it comes. So here's my definition for inner healing. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, can heal the torments of our heart just as he healed people when he walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. Now let's pause here. You know, when we think about the miracles of Jesus in sacred scripture, the first thing that we often think about are the physical healings that he brought about, right? But we well know that he never healed anybody physically when in and of itself, by itself, but rather he healed the whole person. He healed the whole person. He healed them spiritually. He healed them emotionally. He healed them psychologically. And then he healed the physical malady. He would say, go and sin no more. I think about the woman caught in adultery. There was no need for physical healing there, but what did she need? She needed inner healing. Go and sin no more. Just those words set her free. You hear that in the sacrament of reconciliation when we're absolved of our sins. Another example, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, right? What about that? Jesus tells her everything about herself, but he heals her. And so when we think of this healing, yes, Jesus can heal us of our physical ailments, and he does. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've been present to it. But the greater healing is the healing of our heart, our soul, our inner core. And Jesus wants to do that. So this Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which we know from Scripture, he wants to heal the torments of our heart. He wants to set us free, just as he wanted to bring freedom and hope and healing physically and emotionally and spiritually and psychologically and in every way to the people when he walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. So how do we do it? Well, we ask him. We ask him for the healing. We ask him to enter into our painful memories and to touch all of our interior injuries with his healing love. And that's what inner healing is. It's asking him to come in to those painful places, to those horrific memories, to those sadnesses, to those sufferings, to those griefs, to those afflictions, to those tortured areas of our being when we sincerely regret the sins that we've committed. Asking him to come into those places where we've been sinned against, perhaps through sexual abuse or emotional abuse or any other of the abuses that we could name. Jesus wants to come into those very places, and he wants to pitch his tent there, and he wants to stay there, and he wants to effect healing in us. Inner healing is first begun by being present to our Lord and allowing Him to reveal to us in the light of truth what has been hidden in the darkness of our hearts. I can tell you that I remember really and truly my first venture into this kind of deep interior healing. And I had been away from the church for 10 years, and I came back to the faith, and I went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And I know that it was by way of those sacramental graces that God was prying open those deep-seated memories, prying them open that He might come in and dwell there and effect healing. But you see, this God of ours will never barge in. He waits to be invited. And I can remember very specifically that first moment when I was realizing that God wanted to come into one specific area of wounding, deep, deep, deep wounding. One area of wounding where I had received counseling and that I thought I had taken care of. And when I sensed the Lord wanting to come in there, I saw a big box, like a big present. It was wrapped beautifully. And Jesus was asking me, I knew in the way in which the soul intuits these things, that He wanted me to take the lid off. And I didn't want to, because I knew what was in that box. I knew it was all of that misery. It was all of that suffering. It was all of the memory of this wound. And I had stuffed it away. I had put all that into this box and wrapped it up real pretty and said, okay, that's it. But Jesus was saying, no, that's not the case at all. No, I want to come in to this box and I want to work with you. I want to work in you to bring this healing about. He wants to come into those dark places. I was afraid. I didn't want to let Him in. I told Him so. I said, no, I don't think so, Lord. But you know, His love is so great. And the warmth of His presence is so, so wonderful that I did take that lid off the box and I did let Him in. And yeah, it was like Pandora's box and there everything flew out. But then the process began. And all of these many years later, I think the process is, what do I want to say? Hopefully, nearing its resolution. Because for deep wounds, it's like peeling an onion. It's the way it's most typically described. But He wants to bring us that freedom. And we're freed up bit by bit by bit by bit. And then His life comes in and permeates that area, and there is joy there. And let me tell you, this is really interesting and very paradoxical. There is even a type of gratitude for the suffering, for the affliction, for the wound, because it's through that healing process of that wound that we get to taste what real joy is all about. Job chapter 12, verse 22, the recesses of the darkness He discloses and brings the gloom forth to the light. Daniel 2, 22, He reveals deep and hidden things and knows what is in the darkness, for the light dwells in Him. Get this from Luke 8, 17, there is nothing hidden that will not be exposed, nothing concealed that will not be known and brought to light. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and manifest the intentions of hearts. God wants us to be set free. Hosea 4, 6 speaks to something. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. God wants us to have knowledge of His healing power. He does not want for us to perish by way of the wound, but rather that we are healed and set free from the wound. And this only comes by way of acknowledging that we're in need of that healing, to stop the stuffing process and to let Him in. So how do we know if we have a wound of the heart? Well, let me just share the first step. First of all, ask ourselves some questions. First, is there an unhealthy pattern of behavior or thinking that recurs in your life? Is there an unhealthy pattern of behavior or thinking that recurs in your life? Like, I'll never measure up. I'm never going to be good enough. I can never do anything right. Or all I'm good for is to be used as someone's sexual object. Or my parents never loved me. They didn't love me. Nobody could love me. I'm unlovable. I'm just trying to give you some examples, right? Is there an unhealthy pattern of behavior or thinking that recurs in your life? That's often indicative of a wound of the heart. What about this question? Do you overreact either externally or internally in some types of situations? For example, if somebody questions you, do you either seethe inside, internal overreaction, or do you haul off and give them, you know, like a rash of language, exteriorly overreacting? Do you sometimes grow frustrated, impatient? Can you name those kinds of situations that provoke that? What are the triggers that cause that? The Lord wants to sit with you and take you deeply into what the root causes of this overreaction. It's not the person who's questioning you. It's not the authority figure standing before you. It's something more. Or what about this? Do you walk around with a cloud over your head, thinking of yourself as a victim? And do you brood about that and ruminate on it? Is there a type of oppression, right? And I'm a victim. You suffer from a victim mentality. Today, we extol that in our culture. No, being a victim is not what God wants for you. It's what the enemy wants for you. So do you walk around that way? Do you find yourself committing the same sin over and over again? Think of those sins that you commit that you most often confess. You know, do you go to confession? It's like you're confessing the same sins over and over again. Well, it's time to get serious about that. It's time to ask yourself, what's going on here? Why is it that I keep committing this sin over and over again? I often use the sin of gossip. Why do you gossip? Why do you have to tear somebody down? Why do you have to pull out all their dirty laundry and wave it in the wind at everybody who comes along? Why do you do that? Oftentimes, that's rooted in a deep sense of insecurity. Aha, now we're getting somewhere. All right, let's look at that insecurity. When did that insecurity begin? Can you recall an event that was the precipitator of it? Or have you always felt that way? Does it go back perhaps to your family of origin? You didn't feel secure in that relationship. Why? Well, was it an alcoholic or a substance abuse household? Common for those children to feel insecure because there's lacking of stability in that home. Or, you know, is it because you didn't measure up in the classroom? You know, or the teacher made fun of you in the classroom, or the kids on the playground made fun of you? Where did that insecurity begin? You remember, Jesus wants to come into that moment. He wants to come into that situation. He wants to begin this process. Jesus says this to St. Faustina, "With childlike simplicity, talk to me about everything." I love that. Oh my goodness, do I love that. "With childlike simplicity, talk to me about everything." Jesus says to Faustina, "From my ears and my heart, I incline toward you, and your words are dear to me." Oh, my dear friend in Christ, Jesus is speaking these words to you this moment. With childlike simplicity, talk to me about everything. "From my ears and my heart," says Jesus, "I incline toward you, and your words are dear to me." Jesus says, "Tell me all, my child. Hide nothing from me, because my loving heart, the heart of your best friend, is listening to you." Oh, sweet child of God, Jesus says this to Faustina. But he had Faustina write this in her diary because he wanted you to hear it today. So we ask ourselves in this second step, when did it all begin? What were the initial feelings or emotions that welled up inside of me? And how has this whole business been manifested throughout my life? In step three, we look at, you know, what our body tells us. You know, it's an interesting thing because we are a composite of body and soul. So the maladies of our heart have an effect upon our body, and conversely, the maladies of our body have an effect upon our soul, our dispositions, you know, the way in which we see the world in a given moment in time. And you know that. I mean, if you've suffered deeply physically, you know that there are days when everything looks gloomy to you. Well, it's because of the pain. It's because of the suffering, and it colors your response to the world and sometimes even your response to those people that are trying to help you. But, you know, likewise, when there's a wound of the heart, then our body responds to it. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says this, a joyful heart is the health of the body, but a depressed spirit dries up the bones. Isn't that interesting? A joyful heart, this is the body-soul composite, a joyful heart is the health of the body, but a depressed spirit dries up the bones. So let me ask you this, do you suffer from high blood pressure? What about gastrointestinal disorders? Heart problems? What about headaches? Insomnia? Do you have nerve issues or nervous issues like tremors or jitters or stutters, right? So sometimes these things are related to a problem that you're experiencing in your heart, an area that needs healing. I'll never forget, many years ago, I was presenting to a group of ministers in a parish, you know, so these were the extraordinary ministers of communion. They were the ushers, you know, they were the people who took Holy Communion to the homebound. They were all of those persons, you know, some of them probably were Knights of Columbus, all of those that were in those service ministries inside of a parish. So the priest asked me to come in and give a talk. So I was talking about a number of things, but I was talking about forgiveness. That's one of the biggest obstacles and blocks to healing, by the way. And I mentioned this, and this young man came up. This guy couldn't have been, I don't know, he couldn't have been more than 32 years old. And he said, you really got to me. And he was not happy at all with me when you said I had to forgive. I said, well, you know, first of all, I didn't say that. Jesus said it. I'm just repeating his words. And he said, well, he says, you know, my brother-in-law did thus and such to our family, and I am so mad at him. I am so angry, and I'm so resentful for what he did. And he said, and it's causing me problems in work. I can't concentrate anymore. My blood pressure is high. I'm beginning to develop gastrointestinal disorders. And I said, well, that's all coming because you won't forgive. The Lord wants to heal you, but you're standing in the way of the healing he wants to bring you. Isn't that interesting? So I use that as an example. So maybe your high blood pressure or your gastro issues or your heart problems or your headaches or your insomnia or your tremors and jitters and stutters are all related to that. I don't know. It might not be, but it's worth exploring with our Lord. And here's step four. Do you have emotional or mental issues? Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? And here are some of those situations that would indicate a broken spirit. And the difference is what? The difference is that a spirit that is sick has hope for healing because the Lord's been invited in and he's healing it, you know, from glory to glory. He's healing it one step at a time. But somebody whose spirit is broken is no longer even, or in ignorance is not letting the Lord work in his life. So what would be indicative of that? A broken spirit, depression, discouragement, some forms of obsessive compulsive disorder, not all of them. Fear. Now, here I'm talking about servile fear. You know, I'm talking about really irrational fear. If the house is on fire and you feel fear, you should, because that fear is meant to motivate you to get out of the burning house. But if you're fearful about everything and it's an irrational fear, problem. Anger management issues. trust issues, excessive timidity or shyness, control issues, defiance. So those could signify an emotional or mental issue that God wants to bring into the light to heal you. So I'm hoping that, you know, all of these ways that I have indicated to you today helps to put you on the path to healing, helps to set you free. We're going to end with these beautiful words once again of our Lord to Saint Faustina. He says, "All your miseries have been consumed in the flame of my love like a little twig thrown into a roaring fire." Tonight when you sit in prayer, take your miseries, see the flame of the Lord's love, maybe by imaging his Sacred Heart, and throw those miseries into the flame of his love. Let him in. He will set you free. Well, I hope this has been of help to you today. It's always of help to me to go through it all again. And I do sincerely wish you, pray for you, have the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye now.